they spend money on making the canvas up there look good, but for us, the canvas is the heart of the viewer who's sitting out there in the seat. We're using the movie as a tool, but our ultimate desire is that God do a work in their heart. God is glorified, lives are changed, there's more feet in heaven as a result of what we've been doing.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of The Exchange. My name is Micah Fries, and we're really glad to have you here. The Exchange is a place where we engage in true thoughts and theology, hoping to compel one another to love and good deeds. I think we've got a great show for you today. Our guests are the Kendrick brothers. Of course, Alex and Stephen Kendrick are the producers of feature-length films like Courageous and Fireproof, Facing the Giants, Flywheel, and as of August 28th, their new movie called War Room, a movie about prayer. We want you to engage with us on social media, so be sure to use the hashtag #TheExchange so that we can know that you're in the conversation. Before we jump into the interview with the Kendrick brothers, let's hear from the main actress in the movie. She's an author, she's a Bible study teacher, she is Priscilla Shire.
Well, I think to know that the age-old struggle of women feeling valued is a continued struggle, that the women in your church need to feel like not only that they have value, but that they have a place within the local church. And I do believe in the authority structure that God has set up for the local church and the submission to authority within the local church. And yet, within that structure, there is still a way for women to feel valued, their gifts and talents to be used and capitalized upon. In fact, I think the church really can't become all that she is destined to be unless all the parts of the body feel are able and have room to be able to bring their gifts to the table for the edification of everyone else. So I would say that I see a huge need amongst women to feel valued in their church, to feel necessary and needed. Even if you're a husband to one wife, I mean, take this principle home to your one wife. She wants to know you value her opinions, her ideas, and that the gifts she brings to the table are necessary for your family to flourish. And so that would be one of the main things that I think I see from women all over, is that they want to know, where do I plug into my local church and how can I feel needed and necessary amongst the people that God has set me?
It might seem strange to have a study called the Explicit Gospel, specifically for home groups or Sunday school or for Christians by and large. But I think the reality is most of us have a bent that takes us away from the Explicit Gospel and into something I'll call moralistic deism. We have a list of things that we feel like we should be doing and a list of things we feel like we shouldn't be doing. And what ultimately happens is that we believe if we're doing the good things on that list, or maybe just not doing the bad things on that list, then our relationship with God is tight and good. Unfortunately, though, the scriptures paint a very different picture of our relationship with God, that ultimately our acceptance before God is built on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so instead of drilling down into moral issues, I want us to drill down into the gospel message and let the gospel message be that thing that transforms how we live our lives, that transforms how we think and feel about moral issues, and let us be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Its power via the gospel rather than conform to a pattern of religion by our will.
One of the interesting statistics that we're actually here live interviewing you at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, mm-hmm. is that we're releasing live here. By the time this comes out, it'll be out, is that 4 in 10 Americans now say they watch Christian movies. And we don't know if that's more or less than in the past, but it sure feels like it is more or less in the past. So let's talk. Let's jump in. Let's talk a little bit about Christian movies and start. Either one of you can jump in. Why did you get this interest in creating Christian movies?
Well, we grew up with a fascination for storytelling and did it for humor and stunts, you know, when we were kids. Rarely were we able to see a film at the movie theater, mostly Disney films. You know, I remember Herbie the Love Bug and Swiss Family Robinson, some of those.
Not there's anything wrong with Herbie the Love Bug. That was an awesome film.
That's right. We enjoyed it.
Exactly. But
I remember thinking, we've got to do this. And so we made our own neighborhood movies, Alabama Jones instead of Indiana Jones. We did, instead of James Bond, it was Savings Bond.
Savings Bond.
Yeah,
really.
Savings
wow.
Bond.
I had the line to Bond.
Savings.
That's
yeah,
well. That's it's really creepy. But go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, so we did that. Our dad was a minister, and as we grew, we did develop a love for ministry. Felt called to ministry actually, coming out of high school, and so we attended seminary after we got our communications degree, and started making little ministry videos at first as student ministers. In 2002, when both of us were at Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia. We made Flywheel, a low-budget $20,000 movie, for our community outreach. It was not ever intended to go beyond that, but we truly gave it to God. The production value's low. We cringe sometimes looking at it now, but the Lord gave us the story, and that's really what works about the movie. And As I sit here today, that thing sold over 1 million DVDs. Mm-hmm. And that's something only God could do. Facing the Giants was our first theatrical movie after that. It was a $100,000 budget. And again, the Lord connected us with Sony in a way we didn't expect. And so he gets credit for all those things. We were not skilled enough or smart enough to figure all that out. But we did have a love for telling story and trying to minister through, you know, visual parables, if you will. And God's done the rest.
It's been pretty amazing. It's been funny to watch, you know, because I watched all the films, seen all the films, and the production value continues to grow.
Hopefully, yes.
But well, I wasn't going to point that out, but yes, it needed some growth from the beginning. But again, you made it with $20,000.
That's
you
right,
know, with
yeah.
your mom. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. It's like, hey, let's you guys.
It was 480p, had. And the camera got out of focus.
Exactly,
and,
yeah, it's all good.
That's right.
But now to the point where it's a worldwide, phenomenon, and so. So I agree with you. It's all the Lord. I'm thankful. I see Sony is continuing this partnership with Sony, but how? I mean, give us some of the mechanics along the way. How this
sure.
becomes this global experience.
Well, let me say this. Alex is a great storyteller, and we could sit here and he could talk about what happened at Walmart today with the cashier, and you're like on the edge of your seat. What's going to happen next? And so it's not just that we're trying to tell great stories. That's true. But he's good at making a used car salesman interesting in Flywheel and grabbing the emotion out of the scene. And so I talk about he's good at ramping emotion and that he will see the finished product on the inside of his head. And he's like, all right, I want you to look this way and do this. And we've got these people that are not professionally trained actors. And they're like, okay, I'm just following his, you know. Mm-hmm. He says, all right. Sometimes he's even fed people lines.
Really?
You know, this is a Sunday school guy who's never acted before. Right. Alex said, just look at me and say it this way, like that. Yeah. And he's filming him, and then he edits
not
it together in his head.
No.
So, yeah, no.
It seems to be working for you, though. It seems to be working
right.
for you.
So he wouldn't do that with people that are professionally trained. Yeah. He can just let them go.
Sure.
But that has been part of it, is he's a really good storyteller. At the same time, we're both serving in ministry. We're seeing the power of prayer. Yeah. We're praying through all of our decisions, and God is giving us ideas that are better than things that we could come up with. Yeah. And so we pray, Lord, give us some really funny lines for this scene, or give us some biblical truths that will change the culture if we can get that out there. So that's behind the scenes as well. And we're very critical of one another, you know. Not
brothers have to be. It's
yeah, not, rule. Not of. I'm talking about we critique each other's ideas.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll bring an idea to the table, and Alex tells me why it won't work, and I have to defend it.
Right.
He does the same thing.
Right.
He's throwing out ideas. I'm like, it's not going to work, and here's why.
Yeah.
And so if it can get through that.
The brother grid.
Because the good ideas will last that. Yeah. They can stand the heat. And so the quality control goes up when it's iron sharpens iron in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And we love each other. We pray together. We're supporting each other. But it helps us to continue to improve.
Well, let's talk about how you, and either one can answer, is how you come to a story. It's interesting because, you know, even today, I have a 10-year-old daughter, but I'm a father of three daughters. But I have to dance with them whenever they asked, largely because of YouTube.
Courageous.
So it's like, want to dance? Yes, I don't want this to be the opportunity.
I don't want you to die.
Exactly.
If
so let's
I say
go.
No.
I'm stopping the car right now. I know how this ends. It was a moving scene that pretty much most of our viewers were like, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yes.
The, you know, let's dance with the daughter scene. So talk to me about, how does this? How do these ideas come from? How do you paint this picture? Either one of you.
Well, We beg God for ideas, for sure. And I know people, you pray. No, really. You know, a lot of times when we do that, the Lord gives us ideas. But whenever they come, sometimes they come in just nugget form. You know, here's a great idea. And then as we pray, the Lord begins to thread them, reorder them, whatever, and they become a theme about fatherhood or about love and marriage or about faith, when you're against the odds, whatever. So the Lord does that. So he does give us inspirational moments, but at the end of the day, I would categorize who we are, or so far who we've called to be, as telling very relatable stories for today's audience. You know, I would love to make a science fiction movie or a comedy or whatever, and maybe the Lord will let us do that one day. But so far, he said, this is the story you're going to tell in a very relatable circumstance to an audience that will say, wow, that's me on the screen. I've dealt with that. I've had that conversation with my spouse.
And if you think about every one of Jesus' parables, the people could relate to him of the day. Mm-hmm. There was no Darth Vader and flying spaceships and other kind of stuff in his stories.
Not that we're against that.
Yeah.
No, exactly. These are not the droids you're looking for. People are like, what? Okay, sorry. But we know what it is.
So, but Jesus made them very relatable. Yeah. And so we've tried to tell stories that are coming out of what we're seeing in ministry. You know, the facing the giant scene where the guy's given the truck, we know of that kind of thing really happening, you know. And so we're translating in the trenches ministry that we're hearing about, how God is working in people's lives. We make them all one character and string them together in a story. The other thing is goodness. Rarely do you see goodness in movies now. And people...
Which is such a shift from 50 years ago when movies would inspire with goodness.
That's right. Yeah. They're watching It's a Wonderful Life at the end of the movie, and you're a rich man because you have friends, and they're all singing, and people are crying because there's goodness there. Well, in Jesus's parables, there's goodness. When the prodigal son's coming home, the father runs to him and embraces the son. Where if that's a movie, we're going to be weeping, you know.
And none of us say, "Oh, that's so cheesy."
Yeah, we love it. We love it. So, but
there are some who say that. But okay.
It has to be done right. You know, there's a fine line between power and cheese.
Yeah,
and
you don't want to end every film does end with a cross and a musical thing. And
that's right.
Coming. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, so the canvas. I mean, this is the canvas of the storytelling. So where does that come from?
Well, we talk about that the canvas of Hollywood is what's up on the screen.
Okay.
You know, they spend the millions of dollars so that they can help Captain America look cool in the CGI slow motion shots.
Which we would all affirm he does.
Yes, he does.
And his best line is, "There's only one God." But go ahead.
That's all right.
So that was like, that moment I was like, Christian movie. No, I'm just kidding. They mentioned God's
bow for prayer, pass the offering plate.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
So, but they spend money on making the canvas up there look good. But for us, the canvas is the heart of the viewer who's sitting out there in the seat. Mm. We're using the movie as a tool, but our ultimate desire is that God do a work in their heart.
That's right.
We can entertain one another to death, and we've all been entertained like crazy, and we want our movies to be very entertaining. But if you walk away and there's no nutritional value, no changed life, and you want your 2 hours back and your $20 back, you know, and which has happened so many times when we walk out of the theater, for us... If your marriage can be impacted, if your relationship with Christ, when Jesus is feeding the 5,000, he's feeding them nutritionally, but also he's revealing the glory of God to them. So for us, it's like, why don't we make entertaining movies, but also, hopefully, God is glorified, lives are changed, there's more feet in heaven as a result of what we've been doing.
Have you ever been stressed, worried, anxious, confused? Maybe all at the same time? Are you building your own house of cards, and if one more card is added, it might all come crashing down? You realize somewhere in between paying the bills, cleaning the house, tackling that pile of laundry, and dropping your kids off at soccer practice, you've got to figure out what's for dinner, run by the grocery store, and if you can't get to that, then it's a quick stop at the drive-thru on the way home to grab dinner just in time to start homework with the kids. Or maybe your boss told your department that layoffs are coming, and everyone will need to put in more hours to pick up the slack. But you and your wife just had a fight about how many hours you've been working lately, and you know you need this job because you're already living paycheck to paycheck. Perhaps it's multiple term papers and exams all due at the same time, and your car just broke down again. Whatever your situation, it seems like the fight to keep up with life and that never-ending to-do list is something we can't win and leaves us all filled with stress, anxiety, and worry about what else life is going to throw our way. It's easy to let our circumstances trap us and leave us feeling overwhelmed and wanting to quit. But it doesn't have to be that way. It is possible to live a life filled with joy and look forward to what's coming next. A life set to prosper and not to fail. A life filled with hope and a future.
Welcome back. Our guests on today's show are Alex and Stephen Kendrick. Today we're discussing faith and films and the call to prayer. Now, Christian movies remain incredibly popular, with about 4 in 10 Americans having seen one over the last year. Before we jump back into the discussion, let's check out the trailer of War Room.
You've been a good enough father. I want to be a good enough father.
Let's go, let's go!
Don't quit! Don't quit!
You are good, and you are mighty, and you are merciful. Praise you, Jesus.
Guide me to who you want me to help.
raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Lord, we need an army of believers and will stand on your word above all else. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees. Who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle. That we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
So a series of movies that have really blown everyone away with the response, and the expectations are here, and then at every time it just kind of exceeds expectations. And now you've changed a theme to War Room. So is this about something related to the Pentagon? Is
right.
this about something related to the Global Command in Tampa? Why War Room?
Yes and no.
Yes.
You know, Alex brought the original idea to the table, and if you think about a war room in the military, it's where allies are meeting together, gathering their information, and coming up with the plan before they execute it in the field. For us, if you look at Scripture in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul says, the battle we're fighting is not this physical battle, mm-hmm. it's a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. He says, put on your armor and then get busy praying. Mm-hmm. He says, praying at all times for all the saints, enduring, persevering in prayer. And so for us, we believe that prayer needs to be happening on the front end rather than a last-ditch effort. Mm-hmm. Because it is our tendency to go out and fight in the flesh, like Joshua did taking on Ai, get defeated, come back and say, all right, God, what do we do now?
Sure.
Rather than prayer needs to be first base rather than third base. And right. so what we talk about in this film is create a war room, engage the Lord on the front end mm-hmm. of every battle of your life and be strategic and be specific. How are you praying for your marriage? How are you praying for your kids? How are you praying for the culture? How are you praying for your pastor and your church? Rather than letting everything the rails come off and then saying, hey, maybe we should pray about this.
I'm trying to picture into my mind. Now, you know I haven't seen the movie, so
right.
but we're screening it here, and I'm going to be seeing it, and so I'm excited about it. But and largely because you've evidenced in the past that you can pull this off. But a movie on prayer? I mean, that seems like is it 2 hours of people on their knees? how do you do a movie on prayer?
Well, first we start off with the correlation of the military war room versus a prayer war room. So the movie literally starts off in the middle of the Vietnam War.
So you're going to like that.
I do like that. There's bombs and stuff.
Yeah, there's bombs.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
The jets and the explosions and the machine guns and all that stuff's going on. And then this elderly woman's voice comes in, and she starts talking about war, that we've always had it since, since the very beginning. And that we're always fighting about something, you know, freedom or rights or money or power, whatever it is. And but that there's another kind of war.
Mm.
And, as you know, we often fight the wrong enemy.
Yeah.
In our marriage, we fight each other like we're each other's enemy, or if you're struggling with your kid or your boss or whatever it is. But that's not who the enemy is. Mm. But she starts talking about there is an enemy, mm. and he wants to remain hidden. He wants to distract, deceive, and divide you. And so he must be fought with the right weapons the right way.
Mm.
So then we bring in the whole concept of the war room. And she was married in the movie, this widow now that's a prayer warrior. She was married to a former military guy that has now passed away. So she begins investing in this young wife that we meet, this Priscilla Shire's character.
Yeah.
And Priscilla's in the movie, her marriage is stretched and there's a lot of friction and they're fighting back and forth. She says, if there's one thing we do well, it's fight. And the elderly woman says, I don't think you do. And she goes, just because you argue a lot didn't mean you fight well. And she goes, but if you will give me 1 hour a week, I'll teach you how to fight the right way with the right weapons. And it intrigues Elizabeth, which is Priscilla Shire's character. So she begins getting mentors. There's a strong mentor component in the movie. And she teaches her how to fight for her husband instead mm-hmm. of against him, for her daughter instead of against him, for their marriage and their situation, finances, everything instead of against it. And so she begins building prayer strategies, putting them all around her closet. And she goes in her closet and begins spending more and more time in prayer. And matter of fact, she says at one point, you know, it used to be that when I tried to spend 10 minutes in prayer, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm finding, now that I have all these strategies and I'm getting closer to the Lord, that I'll be in there an hour and it'll go by quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because she falls in love with how to pray. And as you know, most of us, we'll pray for our meal or when we're sick or in a crisis. But to set apart that 30 minutes, that hour every day to seek and chase after God, to draw near to Him, wanting Him to draw near to us, and then letting Him do what only He can do. And then He gets the credit.
That's good.
And when something happens, so we paint a picture of that in a movie through humor and inspiration and tears and mystery and all that type of stuff. So by the end of War Room, the audience says, man, I got to amp up my prayer life. I know six things I need a strategy to pray for right now, pray scripture over, and we present a lot of it in the movie.
Sure.
But yes, we talk about prayer a lot in the movie, but I think it's in a humorous, inspirational...
Intriguing way, yeah.
Yeah, intriguing way, where if somebody said this movie's about prayer, you don't think, oh, really? Yeah. Prayer? By the end of the film, I think you're jazzed.
Well, I think you, and that's happened. You've evidenced that in the past and sort of the fun that you brought to these things. One of the things that I think any observer would notice is it seems that there's an increased interest in prayer. You know, I think Tim Keller has written a book on it. We did some, Lifeway Research did some research for Max Lucado's book's release, and that research on prayer and the book went everywhere. Ronnie Floyd, our mutual friends, calling the nation to prayer. This was with Tony Evans.
One Cry America.
Yeah, and so in the providence of God, it seems that God is calling His church to prayer.
Yes.
And you're making a movie in the midst of that. Tell us about the timing and why that matters.
Well, with every film, we're saying, God, what is on your heart? What do you know needs to be heard? It's like a pastor on Sunday and God giving him a rhema word for that time, you know, for the audience. So for us,
can I just say
2 years
a
rhema
word? I love the idea of a rhema word, but I don't hear that much from people in South Georgia. But
thank
I like
you.
A rhema word.
That.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Good.
All right, good. Good.
As a
free word
bone,
from the Lord.
Free bone, I'm throwing somebody out there who likes that. Exactly.
Exactly.
So, but for us, we're laying before the Lord 2-3 years in advance. God, what is on your heart? What do we need to be communicating? And He specifically led us to marriage at the time for Fireproof and with Courageous with Fatherhood. With this one, it was directly prayer. There was this sense of rightness about this movie needs to be about prayer for such a time as this. And so when we think about, I feel like in the last 2-3 years, it's like evil has exponentially increased in America. We've been heading off a cliff morally for years, but it's like we're flying fast right now, and people are getting more and more burdened about what's going on in our culture. Mm-hmm. We can see what's going on with ISIS, and we can see what's going on with the racial issues and the tensions that are going on. We can see what's going on morally, even within the church, with pornographic addiction, with sex trafficking, all these things that are happening across our culture. And we're getting burdened in a bigger way, and God is bringing us to our knees as a nation. And if you look at the Great Awakenings, America was not in a good place before those Great Awakenings.
That's right. America was more unchurched as a percentage than they are now. Yeah.
And so what happened? They got to a place of desperation of there's so much wickedness, so much evil, what are we going to do? And believers became less casual about their faith. They started crying out to God in unity, across denominational lines, and started living their faith. And God shows up in power in a mighty way. And we're praying that'll happen again in our generation. This movie ends with 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is up on the screen with, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then God will work in this context. And these movies go around the world. So we think about our persecuted brothers in these other countries.
Right.
They need prayer just as much as we do right now and with our need for revival in America. And so this is a universal issue. We talk about there's not a problem right now we're facing that prayer cannot address.
That's so good. Tell us about, it's a movie about prayer. You know, I know that people in my church credit past movies with helping them as fathers and saving marriages, right? So I mean, people are going to hopefully be engaging in prayer at a higher level. We'd kind of expect the Lord to do great things even through the film. Tell us how God showed up on the set.
Oh, my goodness. The cast showing up exactly when we needed them. And when I say that, I mean, like, looking for Miss
Us Claire. Finding them, not just showing up on the
door. Yeah, I was going to say, because everyone showed up on time.
Yeah.
<That's> I know they're actors, but still.
God sending the perfect people for these roles. Yeah. But He showed up. One of our favorite stories to talk about is we needed a specific type of house for the elderly prayer warrior. The widow, and I even drew a picture of the kind of thing that I saw in my mind. So we're walking through a neighborhood, scouting, praying, looking for the right house, and we see this house, and it was just perfect, and it was for sale. And so we walk up, and we're looking around the house, and then the guy who owned the house is empty. The guy who owned the house walks around the side of the house. He'd been working on the property, and we were like, hey, do you own this house? And he said, yeah. He lives in another city now, and he was in ministry. And he said, but, you know, I've been trying to sell my house for 9 months, no takers, no bids, no anything. And he said, it's been frustrating because it was a nice house in one of those older antebellum-type houses.
Sure.
And so we said, well, we're looking for a place to shoot a movie for about 2-3 weeks. I'm trying to remember how many days we shot there. It was about 3 weeks or so. And his real estate agent was not crazy about this, turning the house over, now that it was nice and pristine, to a movie crew to stomp in and change stuff, change the wallpaper, repaint, which was what we did.
Sure.
And so he said, I don't know. And so we said, we told him about the plot of the movie. So he tells his real estate agent, well, I'm going to let him do this. She did not like that. But so we go in. We shoot all of Miss Clara's scenes, which were great. And we began praying as a team, as a crew, Lord, would you sell this house for him? He allowed us to shoot in his home. He hasn't had any bidders for 9 months. Would you sell this house? The last day we were shooting, finishing up the last shot, we're getting all the equipment to leaving, and a couple shows up with the real estate agent to look at the house. They walk in, they're like, this is it.
Huh.
They make a bid. He accepts it, so it sells on the last day that we're using it. Now, isn't that like God to say, nope, I'm not going to sell this. I've set it aside for my use. But the day I'm done with it, I'm going to sell it for
you. It's a good word. It's a good word.
And our whole crew just cheered. It was it was awesome to see God do something only He could do.
That's great. As we close, I want to ask you to take a moment and sort of talk to the pastors and church leaders who watch this, and say to them why prayer matters and how this movie might help them on that journey of prayer. Just take a moment and share with them.
Sure. Well, if you look at the New Testament, Jesus is constantly calling His disciples to pray. And when they're looking at the power of His life, they're saying, teach us how to pray. If you look at the book of Acts, it was in the context of them devoting themselves to prayer that the Holy Spirit shows up. And then if you look in Acts 2, they redevoted themselves to prayer as the church. That theme of devotion to prayer is throughout the book of Acts. And in Colossians 4, Paul says to us, you devote yourselves to prayer. Commit yourself to it. Be willing to say no to other things so that you can be not just a church who prays, but you can be a house of prayer for all nations. And so when we look at our own lives, we look at Christian history, we look at Scripture, we see that there's consistently a call to prayer. How many pastors would not want every member of their church praying for them? They're going to be better in the pulpit. They're going to see God work more mightily in their services. They're going to see more healing take place in their culture and in their community if they'll begin to pray together. And so we believe that whatever issues you're dealing with in your church, prayer needs to be first base. It needs to be your first plan of action. And so in the movie War Room, we talk about that. It's an engaging, entertaining story. People are going to laugh. They're going to cry. They're going to love this whole adventure that this couple goes on. But the end result of the movie is people are going to be inspired to pray. So we want to tell you, get ready. When this movie hits theaters at the end of August of this year, get ready to use it as a way to propel your church members into praying, propelling the people that are part of your team or your business into becoming a praying people. And we're going to see God work mightily in our generation when we lock shields and engage our Heavenly Father, who can do anything and can solve any problem that we're dealing with.
For resources mentioned in today's show, be sure to visit edstetzer.com. And as always, while you're there, you can check out some of our past episodes. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you have a great week.
Thanks for joining Ed Stetzer and his team for this week's radio edition of The Exchange. Hear this and other past broadcasts of The Exchange. Read up on the latest trends from Lifeway Research and insights and articles from Ed and his team by visiting edstetzer.com. The Exchange Radio has been presented by Lifeway Christian Resources in cooperation with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.